Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power where we share so many wonderful things with you. And I am absolutely delighted today to have my guest, Lindsay Frucci, with me, because this is a woman that has traveled a journey that I think most of us would hold our breath wondering when we hear her story. Could I do the same thing? Would I have been able to weather what she has done? Would I be able to have the resiliency that she has? Now, Lindsay's book is called The Pig and Me. It's a memoir. The subtitle of the book is Tired of Hearing You Can't? Well, with a pan of brownies and a skinny pink pig, Lindsay's going to tell us how you can. Lindsay, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Donna. So nice to be here.
When I was reading your book, I was really impressed, number one, with your total candor. And I thought this woman had to have kept a journal on her experiences because there was a great deal of emotion, agitation, stress, that was expressed in the book for good reason. And I really liked that because you were not afraid to be really black and white about your challenges. Now, I want my audience to know that you founded No Pudge Foods in 1995. You were involved in everything with this. It went on for 10 years. And eventually your company was sold. And your book, The Pig and Me, is, as I mentioned earlier, just a very, very upfront, in-depth, honest statement about what you went through. Let's talk about your entrepreneurial spirit. When you were in high school, when you were growing up, did you ever think that you'd have a business of your own?
No. In a word, no. I assumed that I would do what I'd been raised to do, and that was graduate from high school, get training in something, like my sister was a dental assistant, get married, stop working, and take care of husband and babies. That mm-hmm. was the role that I had been raised to believe was the one I should be aspiring to.
You've got to share with us what made you make the shift to go into entrepreneurship. Is it the mother of being the necessity of innovation?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. My husband's business had failed 5 years before, and we had gone through a bankruptcy. And 5 years later, we were working our way back to some sense of financial stability, but things were still pretty grim. It was just not financially as much as, and yes, the financial drove everything. And, it was like a big black cloud hanging over our heads, everything that we had lost. And I got it into my head that I needed to help in some way. I needed to do something to help to make things better. And not knowing any better, I decided that what I was going to do was start a business to make a whole lot of money, mm-hmm. having no idea what that meant. I knew nothing, nothing about starting a business or running a business. But I just sort of ignored that. And I have to admit, Donna, I do look back and I'm kind of stunned at my own audacity. But I did it. I mean, I just didn't think about it and didn't think no was viable. But if I set my mind to it, I can do it.
That is an expression of what often is touted as the American dream. To be
right.
able to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, or I am going to explore because I've got to do something better. And, Lindsay, there are so many people, I think, that are listening to this show today that maybe are in the exact same circumstances that you were in. And I find every generation has its cycle. And right now, we're dealing with a severe shift, and a lot of industries have disappeared. A lot of people are saying, my goodness, what do I do from here? Where do I go from here? How can I work with it? The exact same scenario that you started. Now, you had been working. You had been involved in real estate, but that gave you a lot of flexible hours. But the real estate market wasn't doing very well either.
No, it was not. And as a new fledgling realtor in a very small resort town, I was at the bottom of the barrel. So I wasn't making a lot of money either. I was making some, which was a step in the right direction towards helping my family, but I knew that that was not a way that I was going to have much of an impact. Not the kind of impact in my mind, in my head, I wanted to have.
Now, I just could totally relate with you dealing with stress by going into the kitchen. I think there are so many women, even more so than men, because it depends on how you were raised and what you were all about, but you were a woman that enjoyed cooking. And you decided that you just loved putting stuff together and putting wonderful meals for your family on the table. And somebody gave you a book called The Silver Palette. Tell us about that book and what was it that created an impact with that book in your life that made you choose a particular decision?
Well, I think before the cookbook, I married into a very Italian family where, for the first time, I understood the relationship between joy and food and the relationship between family and food. And I really understood for the first time the joy of creating really good food and then sharing it with people you love. And my mother-in-law was the most amazing cook in the world, Italian peasant cook. And I knew I would never be able to cook like her, but I wanted to be able to do what she had done. And then but I didn't know how to cook and had not grown up in a house where anybody liked to cook. And meals were more means to the end than an occasion. So someone had given me a copy of the Silver Palette Cookbook, as you say, and by making it captured my imagination. And by making I've probably made at least two-thirds of the recipes in that very first Silver Palette Cookbook, I taught myself how to cook and how to cook well. I learned about flavors and about putting things together to make them taste good. So that was a huge first step in my food life on my own, of teaching myself how to cook.
You decided, though, that you needed to make a shift, and you started experimenting making brownies with less fat, because there was this modality that had evolved. And I loved what you said about, you used to use the Betty Crocker brownie mix and would fix that all up. And, of course, everybody loves it. And you thought, I wonder if I could do something different. And yours, you decided you're going to make with yogurt, and you experimented with it. Even your golden retriever, Maggie, loved them.
Yes, she did. So she didn't
But
I started out by substituting yogurt in the boxed mix, and it was pretty good. It still was a mix that was filled with artificial ingredients and had fat in the mix. So they were still not really good for you, but they were better. And that's when I was already in the mode, Donna, of knowing that I wanted a business. I mean, that was the first. I had decided I wanted a business. I had absolutely no idea what it was I wanted to do. So in my brain, my mantra became, there must be something I can do. And I began to look at the world in a very different way. I began to look at the world through the eyes of, there must be something I can do. And so my days became sort of me watching around me to see, is there an opportunity? Where is there a need? Where is there a niche that I can fit into? And I made these brownies from the box with the yogurt only because initially I wanted them for myself. I wanted to try and cut back on the bad stuff that I was putting into my own body. And as I stood there in my kitchen, it just was like this little baby light bulb. It wasn't any huge aha moment, no big flash. It was like this little baby light bulb that kind of went off and said, is that something I can do? Gee, if I want better for you brownies, I can't be the only one. And gee, what if I get rid of all these artificial ingredients that I can't even name? So making an all-natural brownie mix and making it with yogurt, would that be something other people would want? So that was sort of my aha moment, but it was a quiet aha moment. It sort of started out as a glimmer, and the more I thought about it, the better it sounded.
Now, your husband wasn't too excited. Yeah, your husband was not too excited when you dropped the thought, I want to have a business of my own. And I just loved it when you talked about these two guys that were your taste testers, Mark and Jim, and they'd always give you their evaluations.
And you said you threw,
yeah. And then you said you threw away more pans of brownies than any 10 people make up in a lifetime. But by golly, these guys were your taste testers, and they were happy to volunteer for duty. I don't know how many people would disavow the opportunity to scarf down brownies. But this is something where they gave you good feedback, and your husband didn't even want to taste one of them.
No, he wanted nothing to do with it. He thought it was... You know, you have to understand that we were coming out of a bankruptcy and our entire world revolved around money or the lack thereof. Mm-hmm. Every decision we made, everything we did. And so where I saw in my naivete a brilliant money-making scheme, he saw a money pit. I mean, he has an MBA, you know, and he took one look at my lack of knowledge and experience and expertise and the fact that it was something crazy. Like at the time I was thinking low fat brownies. I didn't have the recipe done yet, and I didn't know they were going to be fat free. He thought it was nuts. I mean, he really did, and he became adamantly opposed, actually.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. But you guys had been married for what, 11, 12 years at the time, and there was just this inner drive inside of you that said, I've got to do this. I need to do this. Now, you ended up meeting with a couple of guys. They recommended that you talk to a fellow, Dave Johnson. You then talked with Bob Fox. You're totally back of the woods as far as experience goes. You didn't even know that you needed certain things planned out. That just wasn't in your head. You just knew that you had an idea. You took your brownies in. And Dave Johnson, this was as if the universe said, okay, we think it's a good idea. And Dave Johnson came into your space, and to your amazement, he had been a senior executive with General Foods for 20 years, and you took in your brownies, and he loved them.
That was Bob Fox, and yes, that's exactly right. Dave Johnson was the first person I met with told me it was a bad idea and I should go home and take care of my children. And I was totally devastated, completely, because I had an agreement with my husband that if these guys told me I was crazy, then I would walk away. And so here I thought he had told me, you know, sort of almost patted me on the head and said, well, you know, you should probably back burner this until your kids are older. But he could see how totally devastated I was, and I think that made him feel uncomfortable. And Bob Fox, who I didn't know yet, he heard his voice out in the reception area and called him in. And Bob was the one who had 20 years experience with General Foods as a senior executive, and he sat down and listened to my idea and thought it was fabulous. So, my life went from the bottom to the top in a matter of 1 minute, actually.
Now, they introduced you to the world of business, and thank you for correcting me. I had reversed the names. Here you are brought into a world you have absolutely no knowledge about that involves cash flow. You were asked if you knew about manufacturing. They asked you if you knew a co-packer. You're getting terms, information that you don't have a clue about. Absolutely.
Right.
No clue about. And what was so encouraging, though, is that these men did not talk down to you. They were really teachers. And they said, okay, this is what you need to understand. Well, nobody, unless they're in the industry, has a clue. I remember the first time I talked with someone, this is years ago, about 20 years ago, when I talked with someone that had that was doing a little booth at a particular trade show I was involved with. And they had this wonderful salsa. And I said, my goodness, you people must be working 24 hours a day to get this done. It was the first time I learned that about a co-packer. I didn't know anything
right.
about it. You just don't, it just doesn't cross your mind. And there are these people that have these businesses, and that's what they do. They take your recipe, produce it, package it, bottle it, whatever needs to be done, in their assembly line environment, and it's a whole level of the food industry that I think the average person doesn't even know exists.
Right. I think there's a lot of aspects to the food industry that consumer, you know, you think you know about grocery stores because you shop there twice a week, but there's a whole different side to it that very few people understand. That's it's pretty tough. It's very, very difficult industry to either break into or deal with.
Now,
but yes,
the idea yeah. was a go. You were learning all kinds of things. Then you had to come up with the product name, and it was No Pudge. Now, what was interesting is that when the nutritional analysis of your brownies was done, they were qualified for no fat. Well, my goodness,
right.
that is, you know, has been for the last 10, 15 years one of the hottest things with food because people are wanting to, quote unquote, eat healthy. So the no fat component is there. And this was amazing. No Pudge. Tell us how you came up with a little pig.
Well, it was my husband's idea. You know, he was kind of humoring me. And I had the mix, and I had it analyzed, but I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything with it until I had a name and a graph and a logo. So we were just in the car one day, and as I said, there'd been a lot of tension between us because of the fact that he did not want me moving forward for what I was doing. But we just hit one of those days, and we were brainstorming, and he was the one who came up with the idea for both the name and the logo, the skinny little pig with the tape measure around its waist.
And it's adorable, absolutely adorable. So there you were. You finally had the title of your business, No Pudge Foods, Inc., Lindsay H. Frucci, President. Boy, that must have
right.
given you a powerful feel.
I don't know if it was powerful so much as incredulous, you know, sort of surreal. I mean, I was a one-woman operation that hadn't sold anything yet. So it was hard for me. I didn't think of myself as a businesswoman at that point. I really didn't. I mean, I was such a novice that to see it on a business card was kind of a hoot, actually. It didn't feel real. It took a while for it to feel real. I mean, it certainly did eventually, but it took a while.
Now, you go to a big food show, and it is overwhelming. And boy, having been in shows like that, I know exactly the feeling. It was the National Association for the Specialty Food Trade. And, of course, these shows are pretty expensive to do. And you're there. You're doing the best you can with what you've got. And it's just amazing. Who was the big kahuna that stopped by your booth?
The big kahuna, His name is Tim Sperry, and he was in charge. He was the senior buyer for, at the time, Bread and Circus. And they were a chain of natural food stores in New England that were owned by a little-known company by the name of Whole Foods. Tim was the senior buyer for the chain. And this was in the very early days of natural foods, and they were really one of the first natural foods grocery stores. And so everybody who had a product that was all natural wanted Tim's time and attention, and getting it was nearly impossible. So I tackled him in the aisle of a food sub of one of the food shows. He didn't know me from Adam. I didn't know him, but I saw his name on a badge, and I chased him down and stood in front of him and barred his way, and he had to talk to me.
Mm-hmm. That took moxie, and you exhibited it, and you found you were going to have an opportunity to be in stores. Now, I know someone that has products that go into stores, and they said, boy, you've really got to be aware. It's a whole different world when you're dealing with retail. And you have managers that will work with you sometimes, others that won't. And in your book, you go through all kinds of stuff, and you talk about your difficulties with getting credit. You talk about so many things in your book, and when was it after you started this that you actually began to see a profit with your company?
It was actually about 4 years, because we got off to a slow start. I knew nothing about what I was doing. I was very cautious, taking one step at a time outside of my comfort zone instead of barreling forward. And as frustrating as that was, in hindsight, it was the right way to go, because it allowed me to learn as I went. And it also allowed me to understand that by the time I look back now and I realize that by the time I got on the shelves of some of the bigger chains, consumers were waiting for them. You know, consumers were there and ready to take them off the shelves. If I had gotten in very quickly, if I'd had the money to buy my way in, then I probably wouldn't have lasted, because it would have gotten on the shelves. People wouldn't have known about it. It would have sat there. If you don't perform and perform well in the first 3 to 6 months, you're off the shelf. And
right.
So by waiting and having this move forward much more slowly, it gave me an opportunity to create customer demand and awareness. And so that way, by the time it hit the shelves in certain chains, people were ready to buy it. And that was huge. And that's how I stayed on the shelves at these stores.
Now, you were working not quite 24/7. And this went on for a number of years, like 10 years. The opportunity came for you to perhaps sell the company, but before that occurred, you found that you had a major physical challenge that was showing itself. You were exhausted, and you were diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, heart palpitation.
No, ventricular fibrillation. It was,
okay.
Ventricular fibrillation. And, it was quite a wake-up call.
And then your husband had some challenges.
Right. He was actually diagnosed first. He was actually diagnosed first, and then I had my heart attack 8 weeks later. So it was a pretty stressful time.
Mm-hmm. What was the prompter for you to sell your business? Was it the health issues? What really was the prompter to make you decide you wanted to sell it?
Well, that was what made me initially decide. I mean, after that summer, where we'd gone through what we'd gone through, and I decided, but then I didn't do anything about it. You know, I kind of talked about it and said I was going to, and told my family I was going to, and then didn't really do anything about it. And it wasn't for another year I was out. My youngest son was about to go to college. We were out for a walk, and he looked at me and said, "What are you doing? You know, what do you mean? Well, I thought you were going to sell for business, and I said, well, I am, but, you know, the time just isn't right, yada, yada, yada. And he let me have it. You know, I don't get it. You're working ridiculous hours. You know, you're traveling constantly. Yeah, dad's been sick. You've been sick. This is crazy. You know, you're wasting time you don't have. Sell it and sell it now. And that was the wake-up call for me. That was when I made the real decision, I would say, to sell it.
Now, I know we're going to be coming up to a break. Would you be able to stay with me for another 15 minutes?
Can you tell me what time it is? I'm not in front of a clock.
Yeah. Well, you are on the East Coast, so it'd be 12:30, so it'd be another 15 minutes, like till 12:45 your time.
I can do that. I can do
Wonderful.
That.
All right, because for those of you listening, I want you to be aware of other aspects of her story, and I know we're not going to get it all in before we go to break, but I want to step back here. Here you are. Your company has grown. 10 years of your life have been invested. You and your husband both have challenges. And before we go to break, I would like to ask you, do you regret ever having gone through this journey?
No. No. I can answer that very easily. That's easy. No, I don't. Was it hard? Yes. Did it seem too hard at times? Yes. But it made me the person I am today. I had to grow up. I had to find that confidence in myself. I learned more about myself than I ever would have in under any other circumstances. My marriage is stronger and better than it ever was. There's absolutely no doubt that those 10 years helped define the person that I am now.
And I think that is a powerful statement. For those of you listening, I'm interviewing Lindsay Frucci. Her book is called The Pig and Me. And when we come back after break, you're going to hear more of her story. And I think the important aspect is that she, as she said, she learned more about herself. There's no regrets here. But I think you're going to find the rest of the story quite an interesting one. So this is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to be sharing a little bit more about Lindsay Frucci's journey into the world of entrepreneurship, success, hard-earned, no shortcuts could be taken. There weren't any available. And we'll find out more about this enterprising, self-empowering woman that walked a real tough road. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. My special guest today, Lindsay Frucci. Her book, The Pig and Me, a memoir. For those of you that have been listening, you've heard a good portion of her story. This is a woman that, two words, you can't. She does not like in her vocabulary at all. She decided that she was going to go into the brownie business. And it ended up being quite successful. Lindsay, thank you for staying with me for a little bit more time. Your story is a very gripping one in that you ended up being put into Whole Foods, and that was, or Trader Joe's. Wasn't it Trader Joe's that also you had a chance to be in? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that was a tough arrangement to get into, wasn't it?
It was very tough. I mean, both Whole Foods and Trader Joe's were very difficult to get into. But once we got in, we sold well, and so it was great. It really was. But yeah, Trader Joe's, essentially, they were my first big chain, and they really that business is really what helped put No Pudge on the map.
Now, I have to chuckle because I remember in your book a story about one store, and I don't know that it was Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, but when you got approved by Weight Watchers, and I think somebody could have your, there was no points on the brownies. I don't know anything about their point weight plan or weight loss plan, but by golly, when they found out about your brownie that they could fix, that they could eat, there were a slew of women that went into a store and wanted to know where it was. The guy had a little bit, and he was scared to death when he called you. He said, I got to get something in here now. All of these women are over here, and they were terrifying him because they were demanding your product. That was really a positive statement.
It was wonderful. That was very fun. It was a chain in the Midwest, and he'd never heard of us. Knew nothing about it, but got the information that they had handed out, the Weight Watcher leader had handed out, and he called us and said, what do I do? How do I get this stuff? These women are going to kill me. I got to have this stuff for them, which was great. And that was what we were trying to do, Donna. We were trying to create that consumer demand because we knew that if customers wanted it, stores would stock it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have the money to buy the space on the shelf, which is the normal way of getting on the shelf. I didn't have it. So I had to come up with a different way to get it on the shelf. And so I went about putting what money I had and my energies into creating a demand with consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Yes, it did. And it worked well. Now, your husband came home one day and said he wanted to retire. Now, prior to this, you had gone through the selling of your business.
Right.
Tell us how that was set up. I don't want to get ahead of the game. Tell us how that was set up and the process that you went through, because you had a very, very strong, healthy product. You had good outsourcing for the product. There was demand for it. this was a whole new arena for you, too. How did you manage that? We're not talking about a $10,000 operation. We're talking about a multi-million-dollar operation.
Correct. And if you can hear the noise behind me, I apologize. I've got a big helicopter going right by my window. I did what I had then, by that point, learned. When I didn't know what I was doing, I found people who did. And so I hired both an excellent business broker and a really good lawyer. And they were the ones who walked me through, who helped. He is the broker, is the one who helped me find the buyer for the company, helped me with the negotiations, as did the lawyer. Without them, I had no idea what to do and how to go about selling a large company. And so they were the ones that, again, walked me through every step. I've really learned that it's okay to say, I don't understand or I don't know how to do this. It's perfectly fine to ask for help. It's crazy not to, as a matter of fact. So that's what I did. I asked for help and got fabulous help.
Mm-hmm. Now, your husband knew that you had really arrived big time when he saw an article about you in the Wall Street Journal. No Pudge Foods, a company in Elkins, New Hampshire, that makes fat-free brownies, a fat-free brownie mix. And you were quoted, and there you are on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. That, for him, was really more than a big aha. It was, wow, my wife accomplished something and is now being recognized for it.
Right. It was a real turning point for him. I had to kind of chuckle, thinking, oh, my God, you know, I've done so much more. But it was the fact that I was, you know, quoted on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, really, for him, kind of solidified it, which at the time, as I said, I got a bit of a chuckle out of, but shrugged and said, hey, I'll take his backing and support and enthusiasm any way I can get it. And if that's what it takes, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And you did it. Now, you did sell the company, and that took quite a while to go through. I mean, people seem to think that these processes are fast. They're not. It took time. How long did it take for everything to be finalized? Because this was a product you had developed, you had the recipes, all of this had to be protected and taken care of. What was the process time-wise for that?
It took 18 months. From the mm-hmm. time that I hired the business broker, which was the Monday after I had the conversation with my son, to the day that we closed, was from 1 September to a year from the following January. It was 18 months. It was a long, long process. You get into negotiations with people that you think it's going somewhere, and you take, you know, weeks, and then that disappears. It is a process, and it doesn't, like you say, it does not happen overnight. But we got it done.
Yes, you did. You had actually decided you really didn't want to run a big company anymore, and that wasn't where your heart was. So you did the sale. Here you are. You've accomplished what I call the American dream. Everything has been in order. And then you had a situation occur with the financial advisor that you and your husband worked with. What happened?
Right. 5 years after I sold the business, we just got a phone call. It would be 3 years ago next month. We received a phone call from an attorney saying that our financial, the man we had worked with for our financial investing, had been running an elaborate Ponzi scheme, and all the money was gone. Everything we had invested with him, including the proceeds from the sale of the business, were all gone. And he's now, I'm happy to say, in federal prison, but that hasn't done us any good financially. We and many other people. It was very similar to Bernie Madoff, which is the one that everybody hears about, but it was a similar situation. And just kind of turns your world around.
Now, are you involved in anything today? And this is going to sound perhaps a little fluffy when I say it, but one of the greatest gifts that you got from that disastrous revelation of financial loss was the family pulled together. You, your husband, because you had both been going through health challenges, really took a positioning with us. Now, this wasn't happy. Talk about stress. I mean, this is big time. Here, it's almost like feeling, my God, we did so well, and now because of someone else and their unethical behavior, look, we're right back almost where we were when we started.
Great.
So many years before. Have you chosen to go into another business? What did you and your husband decide to do? Because, again, you had to pull yourselves up by the bootstraps.
Right. He was about to retire. He'd been working half-time, was about to retire, and fortunately was able to get a very good full-time job quite quickly, which we were very grateful for. We've sold our house. We live in an apartment in New York City, in Brooklyn now. And I finished writing the book. I got it published and got it out there, The Pig and Me. And I'm now doing some consulting and some speaking, just trying to get the message out there and also working with a few young companies to try and help them get their feet off the ground. It's been quite an experience, but we made the decision very early on that we had to just keep moving forward, that mm-hmm. we had to look ahead and not look back and keep moving forward and count the blessings that we had. And we had a lot of blessings. I mean, we have great kids, and they're all living close by, and we are a very tight family. We're a very close family, and that's a joy right there. For any parent to feel that way is a blessing. And so we just had to look at the things. I personally became really adamant about gratitude for myself and being grateful and acknowledging the things in the world, however small, that I was lucky enough to have, that I could be grateful for. And I found that no matter how bad a day I was having, there was always, and I mean always, something I could be grateful for that day. And it could be as small as, going for a walk or, getting that perfectly ripe avocado on a day when you're craving guacamole. It doesn't have to be big. But there's always something you can be grateful for, and that really has gotten me through.
Now, Lindsay, I want to ask, do you have a website that people can go to find out more about you and your history and your wonderful book, The Pig and Me, a memoir?
I do. And thepigandme.com. The other one, it's either thepigandme.com or lindsayfrucci.com. And again, I apologize for the noise. Marine One, I'm looking out over New York Harbor, and Marine One just went by with some Chinooks. So they make a lot of noise. I guess the president's been in the city. But yes, lindsayfrucci.com or thepigandme.com, which is clearly much easier to remember.
Yes. This is Donna Sebo. My guest today has been Lindsay Frucci. Her book, The Pig and Me, a Memoir, is absolutely wonderful. And it is a true story of entrepreneurship. It's a story about a woman who broke paradigms that she felt that she was never going to break, but she did. But more than that, it's even when a dark spot hit that could have just absolutely devastated her totally and completely, making her retreat. She didn't do that. She came out fighting, and you heard her last words. She says, I take the time to be grateful. This is Donna Sebo. Lindsay, I'm so grateful for you being with me on the show today. Thanks for the extra time, and we're going to take a break. Don't forget to check out thepigandme.com or Lindsay Frucci, LindsayFrucci.com. You'll be glad you did. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them?
then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. Quick like a bunny, I know we've got a caller waiting. I do want to let those of you in Western Washington know that on November the 3rd, I am going to be doing a special class. It's the last class of the year of Quantum Mind. Robert Newman and I will be putting this program together. It's going to be all day on November the 3rd, which is a Saturday from 10 until 4, and it's going to be a marvelous class. We'll be talking about longevity and wellness, and he's going to give you some Asian insights, and then I'm going to be assisting you with developing your own intuitive talents and capabilities. It's a dynamic workshop. It's a wonderful way to sort of go into the holiday season in preparation for the new year. So I hope you can join me, and more information will be put out in my newsletter, and it also will be on my website on October the 1st. So do put that down on your calendar, and more information is going to be forthcoming. We've got a caller waiting on the line. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
This is AJ from Anchorage.
Well, hi, AJ. Welcome, welcome. I'm looking right off the bat with you at a bit of a perplexing situation. You are in what I would describe as a standstill mode. And you've got to make some decisions within the next 2 to 3 days or next 2 to 3 weeks. It's in a very short period of time about where you're going to go, what you're going to put your focus into, how you're going to be handling your situation. Now, this is extremely important. It is very, very important because you must get your facts together and not let your emotional nature lead you by the nose, because apparently whatever it is you're having to make a decision about is going to be something that you're going to have to stick with for a period of time. It's sort of like signing up for a degree at a college. You may have to go through certain patterning for a period of time before maybe you could make a shift if that's what you decided you wanted to do. So that is and I'm just using that as an example. So that's what I'm looking at. And when I'm watching you, I'm seeing you having a bit of anxiousness. You may not feel like you have enough information. And I want to encourage you to seek out some people that you respect, ask for their feedback. You're still going to be the one making the decision. You don't want these people, when they give you their feedback, to make the decision for you. But you want to get more information than what you've got so that you can be effective with the results that you attain. So all of that being said, I think you've got your work cut out for you. There's not a whole bunch of time left for the year 2012, but I do feel that you're going to find yourself a little bit anxious and stressed over what needs to be done. And I want you to just take time to meditate. If you don't feel that that loosens you up a bit, then do something. Walk around the block. Find something physically that you can do so you can take that frustration energy and channel it into something that is going to allow you to get the mind settled down so it's not going off in 10,000 different directions. And then look at your choices. Then, little by little, you're going to be able to say, well, this I can do without, that I can do without, I don't think I want this, I don't think I want that, and you're going to be able to narrow it down. And I think within, again, 2 to 3 days, 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to make the decision you need to make based on the facts that are there. And that is a big, big aha for you. And I just think it's sort of training for a job positioning that you're going to find yourself in about 6 years. So it's learning how to think, analyze, and process differently than what you've done in the past. It's a good thing. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, and this sounds right on what you're saying, and I really appreciate you speaking with me. And my situation where I'm at right now is my husband and I are trying to actually, we made the decision to adopt our two nieces, and it's been a really stressful couple of weeks, and we're just now at the beginning of it, and it's been very stressful. So just hoping that, you know, we're making the right decision for everybody involved, and if this is something that's going to work for us and our family and financially. I mean, there's so many things that is making me worry about all of this is, you know, supporting these two little girls because we don't have any children of our own.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything involved with a new adoption, and it's been pretty crazy.
Well, I can imagine it is, and it's a big shift. It's a big responsibility. But again, as I said, you've got to get your emotions out of it. And that is very hard when it comes to dealing with children. But in this situation, this is part of a learning process for you so that you can deal with things. And maybe you just deal in little bites, dear, just little tiny bites. And, again, don't hesitate to reach out to people that have more knowledge and experience than you do.
Okay. Great.
Don't be afraid to do that.
So do you see us being successful in this transition?
I believe that there will be decisions made by you and your husband. But believe it or not, you're the one that's going to be the primary decision maker, not your husband. You are.
Okay.
And so it's a whole new awareness for you. And there's no real easy answer to this, and I've got to tell you, I'm out of time. I regret I have to cut you off, but I just have a few seconds before I have to say goodbye.
Okay, thank you very much, Donna. I appreciate your time.
You're more than welcome, and if you need to reach me, you can always call me at my office, 253-582-5604.
Great, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. This is Donna Siebel. Boy, the time just flies. My goodness, this is Donna Siebel. I'm so delighted you were able to join me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's so important to remember. We're all here to learn, to grow, to experience. That's what life is all about. My guest reflected that. Our caller reflects that. I reflect that. You never stop learning. You never stop growing. And the adventure of life continues to bring amazing complexities, joys, miracles, oh, and so much more. Have an absolutely magnificent weekend wherever you are, whatever you're doing in this wonderful planet of ours. Let your light shine because you are needed. This is Donna Siebel. Going to say goodbye. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.